Crowded daily lift tickets at ski resorts get to be hundreds of dollars a day? That's the question Vail, Colorado-based reporter John LeConte tried to answer in a story for the investigative news outlet The Lever. He uncovered what he calls a forgotten coup, where the alleged monopolization of ski resorts could have been prevented. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Merzbach spoke to LeConte while he was at a coffee shop.
So your story, it all comes back to 1975. There are these two Colorado ski resorts, Aspen and Vail, wanted to raise ticket prices from $10 to $12, which is funny. Like, that sounds like nothing
yes,
nowadays.
How audacious. Yeah, exactly. It happened in the middle of the ski season around the same time. And so they were accused of price fixing by an attorney who worked in the consumer affairs division of the governor's office here in Colorado. His name's Tony Aceta, and he called them out and stopped the lift tickets price hike. And that caught the attention of the senator from Colorado, Floyd Haskell, who said, what's going on here? These ski areas are operating on national lands. So does that mean that they can just raise prices whenever they want? And he started looking into the way that ski industry worked and realized that if things were left the way that they were, you know, there was a chance that you could have monopoly in the ski industry. There was a chance that the ski industry could exert undue power in the towns that they operate in, run them sort of like the company towns of the old West. And the ski industry itself also said, well, yeah, and there's some things that we don't like either in the way that the permits are done on these national lands. So maybe we could work out a compromise here and we could revise the permitting process to give us a little more security in our investment so we don't have to annually renew these leases. In exchange, we could do some of these reforms you had talked about.
Yeah, and I know this triggered quite a bit of pushback as well from some well-known power players, including from Coors. Beer, right?
Well, right. And so there was this era of a lot of regulatory measures getting passed across various industries in the U.S. Coors had a hit list of people that he wanted to get out of Congress. And one of them was this Senator Haskell, who just got completely blindsided by all this. So then Haskell was gone.
And yeah, I mean, one of the impacts of that was the ski industry reform bill went away for a while. 8 years later, it's now the 1980s. This bill was resurrected by a senator, Republican from Wyoming, Malcolm Wallop. He brought it back, but he changed some things about this
bill. Well, so you fast forward, the pendulum has swung the other way and there's a lot of deregulation happening. So now you could have big leases, thousands of acres. They would be for 40 years, and you could have as many of them as you wanted without needing additional congressional oversight. And so that paves the way to where we are today, where you have a single company having 36 of these leases.
Yeah, so eventually what passed included all of the deregulation. None of the regulation, which would have, you talk about in your story, helped prevent this monopolistic control, clarify the U.S. Forest Service's authority to regulate rates and consumer impacts, improve environmental oversight, give Congress some oversight. But what gets passed is really just what the ski resorts want.
Yeah, exactly.
You talked about how there were some predictions happening at those times that are scarily realistic.
Yeah, well, one of the big ones, I think, is that a ski area that owns the lifts in your town and thereby provides access to the national forests in your town could withhold season pass privileges from you if you speak out against the company. I've spoken to many people that this has happened to, and one of them, it's this local demonstrator in Vail who went and put a sign in front of the snowstake camera, and then he was not allowed to purchase a season pass then the next season.
That is pretty wild. And yeah, I know now most of the large ski resorts in the U.S. are either owned or affiliated with either Vail or Alterra, which is what evolved from Aspen. Tell me more about what this consolidated corporate power has allowed them to do.
There's two things that they've been accused of by some industry watchdogs and experts. One is be a little more fast and loose with environmental regulations, and specifically when it's related to the growth of the ski resorts themselves. When you have the majority of skiers in the U.S. going to your resorts, then you have to grow because you have to be able to accommodate all this traffic that you're getting. You're creating a greater environmental impact. That's the first thing. And then the second one is labor. In these towns, the resort has been accused of just being able to sort of flaunt the Fair Labor Standards Act by, I guess maybe you'd say little things, but they really add up. Like, you know, if you work at a restaurant way up on top of the mountain, you only clock in once you get up the snowcat and up the lift and make it to the restaurant and get in there and then clock in for the day. These little ways of getting you to sort of work more than you should.
Do you think there's any benefits of having these huge ski monopolies? Now these ski resorts have these multi-resort passes like the Epic Pass and the Icon.
I think the industry itself would tell you that they've been able to create more stability in these ski towns by being able to get prior commitment from guests. Then when you get a bad snow year, the company doesn't take a nosedive in terms of its earnings. But the critique of that is that you don't need a $5 billion corporation and you don't need to own 36 resorts in order to get prior commitment from guests.
Tell me a little bit about the counter movement to these ski monopolies, these smaller independent resorts trying to keep things a bit cheaper.
So what the smaller, you know, mom and pops, if you will, did was banded together and said, let's come up with a competing product of our own, develop this technology for the Indie Pass, and then operate like a co-op where all that money is put into one pot and divided up amongst all these mom and pops based on where it's being redeemed. So it's really been transformational.
That was John LeConte speaking to Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Merzbach about his story for The Lover, titled Powder Grab, The Ski Industry's Forgotten Coup.